This week on the Nittany Dispatch, we discuss new Penn State commit Alvin Henderson, preview the spring game, and discuss what's to come from the transfer portal. This week on the Nittany Dispatch. Hello and welcome to the Nittany Dispatch. I'm John Sauver of the Center Daily Times. She's Audrey Snyder of The Athletic. And Audrey, it is 2 days away. We are recording on Thursday, April 11th. And spring ball is somehow almost over already.
Thank God, right? No. Spring's gone fast. Yeah, it's kind of nice to be like, all right, spring ball's almost in the rear view. Then you get to that next portion of the offseason. But as always is the case, John, here, it's never just like focusing on one thing, right? You can't be focused on the spring game because recruiting doesn't stop. And we know that. And we were reminded of that. Thursday afternoon, four-star running back Alvin Henderson commits to Penn State. John, my initial reaction was, one, where in the world is this town in Alabama? Because for Penn State, we've seen him get guys from Alabama over the years, but a running back, it's a little bit different. Elba, Alabama, never heard of it. So I now have spent my afternoon learning more about Elba, Alabama than I did when the day started, which is good because you learn a lot of random things in this industry. But it is a class 1A school, right? So Alvin Henderson commits. Penn State now has three running backs in the 2025 class, which that in of itself is interesting. Now, I bring up the classification point because I know oftentimes people like to say, oh, they're coming from a smaller school. We're not sure how they're going to adjust. I really do not think that's the case with this guy because his numbers are so insane. I spent the morning again looking up his numbers, just got off the phone talking to some people around him, those who've seen him play, know him, that type of thing. John, I'm going to quickly recite for you the five state records that Penn State commit Alvin Henderson has. Again, state of Alabama. Number one, single season rushing leader in the state of Alabama with 3,532 yards. Again, single season. Single season rushing touchdown leader with 61. Single season overall touchdown record with 67 total touchdowns. Again, these were all set this past season his junior year. He has had the most touchdowns in consecutive games. He's got a nice 26-game streak going there. And last but not least, most points scored in a single season. Want to take a stab at the points, John?
I'm not going to do that much math that quickly.
Most points in a single season with 409.
Of course.
409 points.
See, that's where I, single season. That's where I erred. I should have known I did not have to do math.
I was teeing you only, up. Yeah. There was one answer that you knew my bit and you couldn't even, get my
that's
bit,
a tough
John.
Look for me.
But this to me is a massive get because again, talking to people around Alvin, the thought was even a few months ago, there's no way that this kid doesn't end up at Auburn or Alabama. About 2 hours away from Auburn, he had visited them more than any other school. However, he was in state college with his mom within the past week, and they fell in love with the place, fell in love with the program. Jaywan Sider has been in on this recruitment for a while, had spent time with him this winter, went to his basketball game. So, yeah, just a good reminder, John, that the recruiting stuff's going to be happening probably like crazy as it always does this time of year.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned Jaywan Sider. This is just another testament to how well he's done with Penn State's running backs and how well he's done recruiting. Mm-hmm. The fact that you get a guy this talented when you already have two running backs committed, I think is a testament to how he's done. And so we'll see how that ends up shaking out. Listen, this offense, if Andy Kodonik, he's still the offensive coordinator, if he's not a head coach by then.
See, you know, now you're going to get people worried for other reasons.
No, I mean, that's great for Penn State, right? Like, you want your coordinators to get hired away because
I think at
succeeding.
This point, Penn State fans would like to have the same coordinator for multiple years and just kind of, you know.
Well, they had Mike Yurcich for a few years. So,
moving on, moving right along.
But no, I think Henderson is obviously a big time get, and it will be interesting to see how. I think we're gonna learn a lot this year about how Andy Kodonik uses multiple running backs because we already know what it looks like, and that is my transition to the spring game. Because that is going to be one of the things that I am most interested in seeing. Just and listen, this is what's tough. we're not going to see all of the creativity Saturday. It is the spring game. There is
you mean we're not? They're not showing us everything on Saturday? What?
I know. It's a disappointment to you. I'm sure that was your anticipation.
That was it, yeah.
But they're not going to put everything out there for West Virginia. But I do think that they're going to give us a general idea of what it looks like, obviously, and occasionally sprinkle in a thing or two that lets you know, okay, this is what it's going to look like, right? This is how creative it can be. And I think that kind of starts this year with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. That's the first thing that I'm looking out for on offense is, one, are they present? We haven't seen Catron Allen recently. We don't know if he's going to be playing in the spring game. Two, there's good reason to not play him if he's at all banged up. If anyone's at all banged up, they should not be playing in this game, to be clear. But if not, then we'll see a lot of Cam Wallace. We'll see a lot of Nick Singleton. And I think that's a really good opportunity. Quentin Martin, who I think is probably still a little bit away from playing. I think there's still some...
I disagree there, John, but...
I think... We can get into that. So based on what I've seen in practice, which is very limited, I think that he probably needs to get a little stronger to play running back more. I wouldn't be surprised to see him utilized more outside this year. I think catching that passes. Could be...
Mm-hmm. That's where right.
I think that is much more likely than seeing him running between the tackles. I think he's just got to get a little bit stronger, which is fine, right? Like he is, I think he's going to be every bit of the player that they thought he was going to be, but all of those running backs. And honestly, by the way, Singleton's probably not going to get that many reps either. So you see a lot of Wallace, you'll see a lot of Martin, and they'll be put in positions that maybe we're not used to seeing running backs. And I think that is probably number one on my list and what I want to see out of this offense.
We are getting more of the traditional spring game format, so James Franklin told us this week. At least that's the plan. Now, he did also mention that there are players with limitations that they're not going to use, right? Like we've known Drew Shelton hasn't been practicing all preseason at left tackle, right? That was had a cleanup procedure. He'll be back. He's fine. But again, if you come into the game Saturday expecting to see him, you won't. So for me, I want to see this offensive line, particularly left tackle. I want to see more Javon Williams because long-term, I think they've got an absolute stud there, and I just would like to see him more, right? Redshirts last year, so you don't get that many opportunities to see him. The right side, right tackle, to me, is going to be one of the most interesting competitions this preseason. Again, nothing's going to be decided Saturday. This is, I guess I'll give you all my point of caution here.
It's a data
point. What we're seeing Saturday is one of 15 spring practices, right? One of 15. Please do not leave Beaver Stadium Saturday with some crazy overreaction to what you saw. What you saw Saturday will not matter much, right? It's an open practice. Enjoy the tailgates. There'll be a carnival atmosphere, the whole thing. Recruits will be there. Have a good time. But please do not overreact, because if someone comes out of Saturday and says, oh man, this is this guy, he's the darling, you know, he's the guy who did this, whatever in the spring game, it does not matter, right? The 14 previous practices, that stuff matters. You got 15 on Saturday. But I'm curious about that right side of the offensive line. We know that Nolan Rucci has repped there predominantly this spring. He's competing with Anthony Donko primarily for that starting spot at right tackle. So what does he look like there? Also, what's it like for guys like Rucci and Julian Fleming, who we're going to finally see in Beaver Stadium, right? I think fans will have a lot of fun with that, presumably. I know Fleming had told us last week that he heard many of the cheers and mostly jeers in previous years when Ohio State would come here. So I just kind of want to see what it's like for those guys acclimating. But yeah, I'm curious about the offensive line. We're not going to see everything.
Well, and you mentioned Donka. I think, honestly, if I had to pick someone to start there right now, I think it would be him. I think it's just so hard to get past how good he was against Ole Miss, right? Maybe it was a flash in the pan, Maybe I'm completely wrong. But it's tough for me to get past how good he was then, and presumably he's only improving, right? There's not a lot of reason to believe that he wouldn't. I would think that Rucci will factor in no matter what, and potentially as a swing tackle, right? As someone that can play on both sides and be a quality backup. But to stay along the offensive line, like, listen, I said a few weeks ago that I thought Cooper Cousins was going to be the starter at center come West Virginia game. I think I said come West Virginia game. But this is, listen, there's no reason to go away from that sentiment that I had then. This is one of the best freshman offensive linemen that I've seen at Penn State. I don't remember seeing many guys come in this ready. At a difficult position too. And James talked about in the past, like the difficulty of playing center because of all of the responsibilities, but he looks like he's run with it. And he looks like he has a legitimate chance to be the starter at center this season and be good.
I would pump the brakes on that again, as I cautioned you before to pump the brakes and you didn't. You just kind of blown right through the yellow light.
I refuse.
Full speed ahead. But speaking about pumping the brakes on things, there's, you know, some speculation, shall we say, about the receiving core, as always, right? Isn't that always the thing around here? And Keandre Lambert-Smith was not at practice Wednesday night when we were there for our 15-minute viewing window, which take from that what you want or don't want. Again, guys miss practice for multiple reasons, right? Sometimes there's a class conflict. Sometimes they have other stuff going on. Sometimes they're receiving treatment. You don't know, but in this day and
age... Sometimes there are other reasons.
So in this day and age, when someone is not on the practice field, red flags are raised just because that is the era we live in. And we know the transfer portal is coming soon, April 16th. We'll get into that later. But I'm curious, what do we know about this receiving course come Saturday? We have not heard from Keandre Lambert-Smith, gosh, dating back to some point last year, maybe last November, December. So we have no idea his thoughts on Julian Fleming. I had asked James Franklin about Keandre Lambert-Smith a few weeks ago at practice, and he said that he's seen more consistent flashes, which, again, is important. If this is what your receiving core is, because I don't anticipate that they're going to add to it in this next portal wave, how does he factor in? So, again, we'll see what's going on there. If anything's going on there, that'll
kind of be
a storyline. Or we won't see, and then we'll just ask afterward.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, I am, you know, to stay up with the wide receivers, I am very much anticipating, you know, or looking forward to seeing Julian Fleming, as you said, and Trey Wallace, right? He has been banged up at times in the past. I would guess that he would be one of those guys that's on a limited rep count just because he's someone that's had injury issues. Same with Fleming, by the way.
I was going to say both of them. That's too.
Yeah. And so you have a chance to see some of the younger receivers behind them, but whatever reps those guys get, I'm looking forward to seeing them. They're another piece of the puzzle. They're another data point. But those guys specifically, I'm really looking forward to seeing. Caden Saunders, someone that I think can potentially step up in the slot this year and be someone that factors in a big way there. Came in as a 5-star recruit. We know the talent's there. We've seen it in flashes. I was high on his very limited reps last year when we would see him play, like against Ohio State. I thought he looked good. But yeah, this is the position group, right? This is the whole thing for Penn State.
Deja vu.
No matter how good the running game is, which I think it's going to be elite this year, I think it'll probably be one of the top 10 to 12 in the country, if not even better. 10 to 12, honestly, is probably conservative when you look at the running game this year. But Drew Aller's got to be able to throw the ball to guys, right? And those guys have got to be able to get open. And I think this is going to be the first time that we have a chance to really evaluate Drew and what he's capable of doing. I've said it over and over and over again. He was not put in a position to succeed last season. And so it's tough to glean much from his first year as a starter because of the factors that were kind of hindering him along the way and making it more difficult for him to do his job. And so I do think that this is kind of the first chance to see Drew Aller in a better environment. And I think, you know, again, probably going to see limited reps. I think we're probably going to see a lot of Ethan Grunkmeyer, which is also very interesting.
Because you know who we're not going to see?
Jackson Smaller.
Yeah, yes, James Franklin finally acknowledged that Tuesday night this week. Again, hasn't been out there for weeks. Significant injury. No timeline has been given. So the number 3 quarterback spot, Ethan Grunkmeyer, now gets elevated, which, again, curious to see how he looks. He's only been here a few months. It's really important for him to kind of get this on film. But to your point about Drew Aller and putting him in a position to succeed, here's the thing, John. This is what I was looking up when you were talking. Because this, I can see it happening already. Saturday's weather forecast in State College. High of 51 degrees, but really, really windy. Wind gusts up to 39 miles per hour. So for the Chuck It Deep crowd out there among us, those hoping to see the Nittany Lions air it out, you want to see Drew Aller's deep ball, 39 mile per hour wind gusts, Saturday is not your day.
I am more concerned about the press box shaking because of those windy conditions. I do not like that at all.
You're taking the stairs Saturday, John. That's
what I'm not.
Stairs in a windstorm. I like it.
I will live in the press box before I go down those stairs again. But no, if it's windy, they're just like That's it, right? Like, the throws aren't going to look as good. Yeah. Things might look a little more wobbly. Passes might get knocked down. Please understand that if it is that windy, that will happen. That being said, this is also the kind of environment for Bo Prabula to excel in. He's not allowed to be hit anyways, right? Like, he can't hit the quarterback usually in a scrimmage. And so, like, he can scramble a little bit more freely. I would expect him to end up looking good on Saturday. I think Drew will still look good, but this is, you know, I don't think this is a quarterback competition. I've seen this somehow spring up again in some places.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see it either. I think people want it to
I don't
be,
think it's close right? to one. I don't think it's anywhere close to one.
Yeah, I still, you know, one of these days, John, like, one of my long burning questions in life is, why did Penn State play out last year's quarterback competition the way they did? Like, to me, that whole thing was handled so strangely, and, like, you weren't even trying to, I don't know. To me, the messaging around it was so stupid. We all saw the graphic with Drew Aller on it ahead of, you know, back in the summer. Like, I just, to me, that whole thing was like they were trying to manufacture a competition. I will say, though, we talked with Bo Prabula this week on Zoom, and he did say that he feels really confident, that he feels more confident in himself, in his arm. He specifically mentioned throwing downfield. So I kind of want to see what that looks like, right? Again, 39-mile-per-hour wind gusts won't help us that much, but I do want to kind of see a little bit more from Prabula, and I think Saturday is a good chance for that. In some
I think even more important than the throws downfield for Prabula are the throws to the sidelines, right? The ones that he really has to get velocity on and get them out there rather than having them kind of be looping lobbed throws, because you have to get the ball between sometimes a cornerback and an underneath defender if the defense is sitting in his zone. And so I think him having the arm strength to make those throws is even more important. Now, he will probably play more this year than he did last year. Just makes a lot of sense with the things that Andy Kotelnicki wants to do with their offense. The fact that Andy Kotelnicki has used multiple quarterbacks in the past and is willing to use multiple quarterbacks. And Penn State has used multiple quarterbacks, right? We saw it last year. I think that he's going to play more. I don't think it is an indictment of Drew Aller. I don't think it is an indication of this suddenly being a quarterback battle. I think it's just maximizing the weapons they have on offense and acknowledging that Bo Prabula's running ability is an asset that they can utilize that makes them better. And I think that's all it comes down to. And I think, you know, we might see a little bit of that on Saturday. Maybe we see like 1-2 quarterback formation just to put it out there, right? Just to excite fans or what have you.
Get everybody mad and angry before we send them to the exits. Yeah,
that's right. Turn it to a quarterback competition argument for like 3 or 4 months before fall camp starts. But no, like, we're going to see Bo Prabula more. I think his development is actually important for this team this year. And I don't just mean the program moving forward, even if he's a starter after Drew Aller goes. Like, I think that he has to be ready to play real reps and to be able to throw the ball in situations. And by all accounts, it seems like he's much more in that position to do that now than he was this time a year ago.
Well, John, I'm going to flip it a little bit here. Are we going to see any of these quarterbacks throw a pick on Saturday? Because remember, Drew Aller, I guess, would have been two years ago, his first spring game, the interception, the overreaction. Penn State's cornerbacks are going to be really good, I think. I think there's a lot of talent there and a lot of bodies and a lot of talent. We might see A.J. Harris get his hand on a football or two. I don't know which quarterback will be throwing it, but I do think we could see that Saturday for sure.
Yeah, I think like Grunkemeyer is probably going to be susceptible to that, right? He's a freshman who has not even been through a season or anything, right?
Let the overreactions begin. Been here for a few months. Yeah,
he got there 3 months ago. He's probably going to throw a pick because these guys are just way ahead of him, and that's fine. Like that happens. But I mean, I would venture to guess that we see the corners get their hands on some passes. I am very much, you know, to pivot to the defense, looking forward to A.J. Harris. I think he is very much the real deal. I think there's legitimate excitement about what he can be as a corner. If I had to pick one starter right now at the cornerback position, I think it would probably be him. I'm not guaranteeing that. Still, like we said, full fall camp to go. I hate having to make these caveats, but I don't want to, you know, have one
never stopped you before, John. I mean, the center thing hasn't stopped you.
Well, but that's what I mean. Like, when I say something like that, I mean it. Like, I'm not like, this is not one of those situations. I'm not afraid to say something like that. But I do think Harris is someone that is going to make an impact on this team and quickly. I think there, you know, that there are a bunch of other guys like Elliot Washington, Zion Tracy, Cam Miller, Jalen Kimber, like all of these guys are going to play, probably play a lot because they rotate a lot at corner. Mm-hmm. But I think Harris has a chance to make some major strides this year and be the real deal for Penn State. And this is our first chance to see him in live action, right? Get those real reps. And I'm really looking forward to that.
We had our first chance to talk with AJ Harris this yes. week after practice Tuesday night. I was there in the scrum, planted myself there for the full 10 minutes. It was really interesting to hear from him just because, you know, again, gets here. Remember how when he got here in the winter, it was kind of like this secretive, there was no announcement from Penn State.
Yeah.
He shows up in the directory, right? And then people start assuming that it's him. This whole directory thing, you know, is a whole
I
other
forgot
deal.
About that.
It was and very was weird. Like there was no announcement.
It was like 3 months ago. It was not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It was only a few months ago. And so I'd asked him kind of about, you know, leaving Georgia and why, right? Obviously, path more direct path to playing time here. But the one thing he did say, because I said, you know, what I'd been told was that Georgia had some interest in him as a safety, and he wasn't really into that. He said, yeah, that was part of it, that they kind of viewed him as a bit of a safety. But that last year, he was practicing everywhere in the secondary. Now, I believe, if I'm recalling correctly off the top of my head here, which is always a risk, I believe James Franklin might have said this spring that they thought or they think AJ Harris can play everywhere in the secondary as well. Am I?
That sounds right.
I feel like that has been said.
Either we're both making it up or we're
correct. I mean, it's possible. It's a long spring. It's possible. But yeah, I think really, again, the other thing I asked him about was how have the younger cornerbacks taken to you and Jalen Kimber coming in here? Because again, you're talking about managing expectations, managing egos. And he said that the one thing that Terry Smith always says is that the corners need to check their feelings at the door. And that Terry Smith has this very honest room. And we've heard this for years with Terry Smith.
Yes.
And that this is why he said, you know what? AJ Harris said, I'd really like to thank the younger cornerbacks, especially, which aren't even younger to him because they're like peers, because right. He's a sophomore. But that these guys have helped him acclimate to Penn State and that Cam Miller showed him, you know, how things are done here. So again, you could have a weird dynamic there because you're bringing in two guys to compete for jobs, but it doesn't sound like it's necessarily played out that way, which is good, which is kind of the other thing that I was mentioning earlier with the receivers of, again, you're bringing a Julian Fleming. How does everyone feel about that? Right. Because we always hear you're bringing in players that you want to make sure fit your culture. But that's a tough thing. So yeah, I'm really curious to kind of get a look at these corners as well, because there are so many of them young guys, but then you have the experienced guy in Jalen Kimber, but man, it's just a different group than what we last saw when they took the field in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I think I had posited earlier in the spring was that, okay, this won't be as difficult to get these guys on the field because of that, the lion position, the fifth defensive mm-hmm. back, the
formerly the safety, Husky.
Yeah, the safety corner linebacker hybrid, whatever you want to call it. But it seems like Jalen Reed is the first one to go there, right? And so that means that's coming from the safety room, which means Zaki Wheatley and KJ Winston are the ones that are going to benefit with more playing time alongside each other. Winston would have been presumably starting already. I think he has a chance to be their best player this year. But like, so that if that position isn't coming from that room first, then you're not seeing as many guys on the field, right? And so you're going to have to rotate more. You know, that's a position I think worth monitoring over the next week, and we'll see what it ends up looking like.
Why the next week, John?
Because the transfer portal opens Tuesday, Audrey. I think it's very obvious why I said that.
I just want to make sure. I want to make sure our listeners understood the timeline here. Just want to make sure.
And we have the guys that like Zion Tracy, and Elliot Washington have looked good, right? Mm-hmm. Davian Collins has gotten pretty rave reviews so far this spring, which is not mm-hmm. something that I had really anticipated, right? We didn't hear a lot about him last year. We didn't hear a lot about his development or anything, but he apparently has turned heads. And so if that's another guy that you got to fit into that rotation, something's got to give at some point, whether it's guys are just content, not seeing as much time and waiting until they get their moment because, you know, Kimber, yes, has 2 years of eligibility remaining, but has made it pretty clear that ideally he has 1 year of left in college football.
Plans to be here for one. Yes.
Right. But outside of him, like I don't know that there's going to be a lot of movement from this room, potentially with Cam Miller, but I don't know if he's going to be NFL ready at this time next year. Like it's a lot to ask for them to be able to keep seven guys happy at corner.
Yeah, and that's kind of, that was the impetus for what I'd asked James Franklin this week after practice, was very blunt, how do you plan to get to 85? Now, the thought process behind that is, in this era of college football, right, with collectives and the way that teams can assemble a roster, this is all completely different. And I have a piece up on The Athletic today, led my mailbag with it, with a question that I've gotten asked a lot, which is, does 85 even matter anymore, right? Like the 85 scholarship limit, is it a thing? Does it even matter? And, you know, James Franklin did say that I keep track of these numbers more than he does, which I don't buy that, but I'm a bit of a scholarship tracker, so I guess we all have our things. You're the eligibility guy, I'm the scholarship woman, so that's all right. have our things. But I have Penn State when after this last wave in January with Kimber, Harris, Rucci, all those guys, not many players left. I have Penn State around 99 scholarship players. That is a big number. Now, you got till fall camp to get around that number. It's always an inexact science because you always have people fluctuating. So the thinking is this, right? If 85 doesn't necessarily matter, because I don't think it does in terms of the way rosters are going to be assembled, could, and this again, I'm talking everywhere in college football, could collectives step in and kind of fill that void and say, hey, we're going to basically room and board will be covered through us. You're technically a walk-on, even though you'd be getting aid from different, you know, different revenues as opposed to the traditional four-year scholarship. So James Franklin said he understood my question, but he wasn't going to get into it because just like offensive, defensive, special team strategies, they're not going to give away their collective strategy, especially when they cannot orchestrate deals with the collective. But, you know, it's kind of how these things work in many workaround ways. But he understood what I was asking, for sure. Yes. And that is very much kind of the thing. So I would say to fans, don't get hung up on 85, but I fully expect there's going to have to be some attrition because there always is after the spring.
Yeah, I think James' answer to that question, a question that should be asked, right, like to get him on the record with it, is I think his response is completely fair, right? It's not something that he can kind of speak on.
He didn't say no.
Without, right, but he also can't say yes. So, you know, take that as you will. But I think you almost have to see movement just because guys want to play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like guys want to get on the field and there's just only so many reps that are available. You know, there are positions I think where it's obvious where you can see some attrition, right? Like cornerback is the one that stands out. Who knows what's going to happen?
I'm just saying wide receiver, you have a ton of bodies there.
Yes.
We've seen guys that have not seen the field in years, right? And that's, again, this is every roster everywhere. And it's the thing that gets sped up here is spring game Saturday, portal Tuesday. Penn State's coaches always meet with the players after spring ball to discuss, you know, what they need to focus on this summer, this offseason.
Well, going to be a lot of meetings on Sunday.
I was going to say, I feel like this is going to be a lot of conversations.
Maybe some Saturday night meetings, some
coupled
meetings
with
recruiting right after the game.
Stuff on top of that. Yeah, it's going to be, I feel like we might be getting the shortest press conference ever after this one. I don't know.
I would venture to guess that you'll be correct. I think, you know, wide receiver makes a lot of sense at various spots in the depth chart, right? To see some movement there. There are guys that, like I said, probably aren't where they want to be on the depth chart and want to see the field, whether it's at receiver, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, wherever. And you know, Terry Smith said that they're going to be recruiting their roster, right? Like that they're going to be trying to keep guys. And that's the other part of it, right? It's not just guys who want to play that are maybe moving down a level or to a different school where the position is, you know, there's more mobility on the depth chart. It's also a matter of keeping guys that you want to keep on the team. Like your best players are going to attract interest from other schools. It's a part of the nature of the transfer portal at this point. I'm not going to dig into the NCAA legality of what's going on because I think we all know how this works. I'm sure no one is technically breaking any rules, but like we know that guys are recruited before they go in the portal. Like this, it happens. And so I'm sure that there are already conversations to be had to make sure that Penn State retains its players because that is always going to be a focus. I think even more so than adding guys for Penn State, as long as James Franklin is head coach, they're going to focus on retaining the guys that they have, that they've developed, that they've put the time into to get them to the point that they're at.
Yeah, tampering season, John, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about here, right? I mean, this is kind of the thing.
tampering through relatives, coaches, whoever you'd like.
Whoever you'd like. If maybe I'm the messenger, right? Maybe someone
wants
right.
me to relay it's this messages. Podcast. Yeah. We're the one who are through coded language are relaying
the anonymous tip line here players. At the Nittany Dispatch.
That's right.
But yeah, I do think it is going to be interesting just because there was not much movement in terms of players leaving in January. Now, the other thought process of that too is when you have guys in terms of if you're going to be a grad transfer, those types of things, right? If you have stuff that you need to finish up academically, then you got to wait to the spring, right? Because you have to finish those classes. But typically then you don't see those guys participating in spring ball. So I'm just very curious what this roster looks like in the coming weeks. We will be tracking all of it. We will have the spring ball wrap-ups, overreactions. We'll record after the spring game, probably Saturday night, I'm guessing, to have this out to all of you by Sunday. Hopefully the roster doesn't change drastically between post-spring game and whenever we chat next. John, I will say, because of the wind gusts, I don't think we're going to get much clarity on the kicking competition. I'm sorry.
Or we're going to get a lot of clarity. One or the other.
I know, that's true. Yeah, no, that would be really fun. Just have them keep repeatedly kicking into 30-plus mile per wind gusts. Yeah, that would be... Give the people what they want, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So anything, any last thoughts, John, before we get on out of here? Because it looks like we've got another thunderstorm rolling through State College.
I was
going
to say, I just looked out the window and it's dreary again.
Lights are on at 3 in the afternoon. Yep. Yeah.
As everyone knows, they can find you on Twitter at OddSnyder4. They can find me on Twitter at John Sauber. I have some of the stuff we said here. I have some of that in a story on centerdaily.com. You have your stuff over at The Athletic. You have Mailbag up there. That is a good read. Mm-hmm. And
Carter Storace story for the wrestling listeners.
Yes. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Those 5-star ratings really help us out. Hit that thumbs up button down below if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube. That helps us out quite a bit as well. But we will be back sometime after the Blue-White game to discuss what we saw and where things are and discuss the transfer portal, which also never stops. So thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.